right, let's stand together if you would, please. Jonah, chapter 3, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. That means it was very big. It took 3 days to walk from one end of the city to the other. That's a big city. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's all he said. And so the people of Nineveh believed God, amen, and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Somebody went up to the king's palace and said, King, there's a preacher in town, and he said, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. Man, that's some power there. And the king, just hearing that, laid off his robe and repented. In verse 7, he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. That means fast. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Now look, I'm telling you one thing. That would be a tremendous thing to hear from the White House.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
And God saw their works in verse 10, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. It's better for me to die than to live. Doesn't sound like anybody had revival there. Verse 4, Then said the Lord to Jonah here, Doest thou well to be angry? And let me ask you, doest thou well to be angry? Let me preach this message entitled to you, Doest Thou Well, Jonah? Let's pray. Father, I want you to help us tonight. We're indeed thankful, Lord, for all that you do. But Lord, many times we don't do well. We don't do right. I pray you'd help us to learn, glean, grow, Lord, change us, God, tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Doest thou well? The book of Jonah could be outlined or summarized in this way. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 1, you have the word of the Lord coming to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Right there we have the Great Commission.
Amen.
We have God giving a man a commission, a charge, an order, yeah, to go preach the gospel unto a certain city. A great. Now, when I say great, I mean large. I mean huge. We have a great commission there. And then Jonah, verse 2, we also have a great wickedness. Nineveh was a very evil city, very wicked city, the capital of Syria. Okay, and if you know anything about Syria, that they are just mean, evil people. Not every one of them, but you understand, as a whole, that's their reputation when it comes to God's people. There's a great commission, there's a great wickedness, but then there's a great mistake. A great mistake. In verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee. Amen. A great mistake. Then there's a great waste. Verse 3, he rose up to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. And boy, what a great waste. He wasted his money. He wasted his time. He wasted his energy. He wasted days of his life. He wasted other people's time. He wasted the sailors on that ship. A great waste of time and money. You will waste money when you decide to flee from the will of God.
That's right.
You will waste a lot of things. A great waste. And then verse 4, the Lord sent out a great wind. Now we got a great wind, which brought a great tempest, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea. So we've got a great wind bringing a great tempest, and then because of Jonah's great waste of time and money, we have a great fear. Verse 5, the mariners were afraid. Look at verse 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, a great fear. These men on that ship were completely innocent, but listen, they were suffering and they were fearful for their lives because of Jonah's great mistake, because of Jonah's unwillingness to follow the Lord. A great waste, a great wind, a great tempest, then a great fear. Others are suffering because of Jonah's, Jonah's disobedience. Others will always suffer. When we disobey God, always. Then there's a great fish. Amen. A great fish in verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You need to understand that is literal. That literally happened. Okay, it's not figurative. It's not a simile or a metaphor. It's literal. A great, and Jesus called it a whale. Okay, the great whale, this whale. So we have a great fish. And then we have, obviously, we have great affliction now. Great affliction. When you get out of the will of God, you will face great affliction. Don't ever doubt it. You listen, he said in verse 2, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Now that belly of the whale was not literal hell, but it was the closest thing that Jonah had ever seen.
Yeah, amen.
It all started with a great mistake.
Yeah.
Ignoring a great commission because of a great wickedness. I hasten here. Great fish, great affliction. Verse 1 of chapter 3. The word of the Lord came again unto Jonah the second time. I see great mercy there.
Amen.
God gave him another chance.
Amen.
I see great mercy there. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, and notice he didn't change a thing. I'm telling you, listen, when God wants you to do something, quit trying to get God to change his mind and change your mind and do it.
Yeah.
Or you're going to find yourself in great affliction. Yeah. Many people are going to suffer because of you. Great winds, great tempests, great mistakes, great fear. But listen, the great mercy came and said the same thing. Verse 2, a great city again. A great, very big city, verse 2 and 3. Exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And then we have a great revival. Look in verse 8 of chapter 3. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mighty unto God. The king says, I want all my city, I want everybody in this city to get right with God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, I don't know that they all did.
Yeah.
But he sure did. I believe that the Bible says that he cried. He sent out his nobles into all the city, his messengers, amen. And they began to tell everybody in every house. I believe probably maybe they were knocking on doors. I don't know, amen.
Yeah.
It's time to get right with God. Who said so? The king said so. Well, what if I don't? Well, then the king will find out, and you'll be sorry. Oh, and I'm telling you, there was a great revival here.
Yeah.
Nineveh citywide revival, repentance, repentance.
Amen. Amen.
Then there was a great God in verse 10. A great God. God saw their works. They turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil. He had said that he would do that, and he did it not. They deserve to be wiped out.
Yeah,
that's right.
I see a great God there. But then, now notice, then in chapter 4, verse 1 is what I'm going to get to tonight. Great anger. Great anger. Displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. Now, are you serious? This is supposed to be a prophet. This is a prophet. This is a preacher. This is a man of God on a mission to do work for God. And the people repented and they responded. And God did. But then he is exceeding very angry. You like this?
Yeah. Amen.
Then I see great gladness. Let's read on in verse 2. He prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord. Was not this my saying when I was in my country? Therefore I fled before the Tarshish. I knew that thou art a gracious God. And he's complaining about that. I knew you were a gracious God. I knew you were merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, repentance thee of evil. I knew that, Lord. I knew you were going to do this. He's angry. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life. It's better for me to die. And then God just looks at him. And, I mean, can you? I can't decipher the tone of voice of the Lord, but it's probably something like, "Are you serious?
Yeah.
Amen.
Doest thou well to be angry? Has God ever asked you that? Are you right? is something wrong with you?
Amen. Come on.
He's asked me that before. So Jonah went out of the city in verse 5, sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, a little tent-like, set under it in the shadow that he might see what would become of the city. Now, and the Lord God prepared a gourd. And here we have, let's read on here, verse 6. Prepared a gourd, made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah, notice, was exceeding glad. So the great anger now turned to great gladness. Just like that. Just a great gladness. But, verse 7, God prepared a worm. When the morning arose the next day, it smote the gourd that it withered. And here I see great anger turned to great gladness. And then I see a little worm. A little worm. And all of a sudden, God's teaching Jonah a great lesson. And that's what I want to get to. Let's read on in verse 8. It came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted. That's heat stroke, folks. And wished in himself to die. He said, it's better for me to die than to live. Now, wait a minute. He was just greatly glad a few minutes ago. But God said to Jonah again, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. And he's saying, God, you're wrong. I am right, God. I'm right. And boy, listen, I'm telling you what, Jonah's got problems.
Amen.
Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. But should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? God, listen, so we have a great lesson being taught to Jonah at the end of this book, and that's really what I want to focus on tonight. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. We told you that, to preach to it. And can I tell you, that's what missions is all about. That's what soul winning is all about. That's what a church's job is in any city. Amen. Is to get into that city and preach the gospel to that city. That is the commission to the church. Go ye into all the world, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. But it starts in Jerusalem. It starts in your city. And that's what it's all about. Ordinary men receiving orders from God to go to a specific place and preach repentance. That's what it's all about. That is what a church is there for. That is what a commission is given. That's what missionaries are sent out to do, is to preach the repentance and the salvation of God.
Amen.
Amen.
John the Baptist, that's all he did. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent to bring you forth fruits meet for repentance. Jesus, after John the Baptist was dead, the Bible says he went and preached the exact same thing. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Amen.
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 Jonah, however, decided, And he had a bad experience, let's just say, with a Bell's welly. I cannot ever preach on Jonah without getting those backwards. It's a whale's belly. If I say Bell's welly once again, please excuse me, but it's hard to get that straight. It's a whale's belly. But where we begin reading here in chapter 4 is what I want to get back to. Jonah is back now on dry ground. Jonah has been preaching now in Nineveh. The word of the Lord came to him a second time. By the way, the gifts and calling of God are not without repentance. If God has called you to preach, it's not going to change until you die.
Yeah,
and you need to be careful. He might just go ahead and take you home early if you're not fulfilling his will for your life. God does not change the call on our lives. Jonah obeys this time there in chapter 3. He obeys, and then he goes to Nineveh. By the way, can I say this just in passing? Avoiding the whale's belly would have been much more pleasant and much easier for Jonah. Instead of having to go through all of that, if he would have just gone the first time, his life would have been much more pleasant.
That's right, man.
I'm afraid that we find ourselves in great affliction many times because of our own stubbornness.
Come on, say it.
Because of our own foolishness. Because we just don't like what God's told us to do.
Amen.
Going the first time would have saved Jonah many long nights. three days and three nights in the whale's belly. But I don't think it stopped there. I mean, you don't spend 3 days and three nights in, like he called it, hell. In the belly of a whale, you don't spend 3 days and three nights in such a place without having nightmares about it for a while afterwards. Well, you may not have nightmares, but you sure are going to remember that with a cold sweat. Like, oh, Lord God, please, I don't want to go back to that place. So Jonah could have saved himself a lot of emotional scars. Can I say that? Just put it that way. A lot of emotional scars, a lot of anger that we saw that a minute ago. He would have saved himself a whole lot of pain.
Yeah.
A whole lot of regret. I hope you listen to me tonight. He went ahead, and the second time he preached, and Nineveh repented, a citywide revival. And can I say, this is every preacher's dream, amen? Amen. If there's anything in your heart as a man of God, it's just a church member. It ought to be your dream. This is what we're here for. This is what God wants us to do. This is what God has called us to do. This is why God has planted a church in our city, so that people can get saved, so that the city can be turned upside down for God. Amen. That's what should be your prayer every day. It should be our heart's desire every day. God, do something in my city.
Amen.
And boy, I mean, Jonah got God answered a prayer in a miraculous way, an amazing way, and reached that whole city. And God, this doesn't happen very often, but it happened in Jonah's life.
Amen.
But I want to focus on Jonah's reaction to the revival. Remember now, this revival is a beautiful picture of God's saving grace, God's exceeding great mercy. We know that Nineveh didn't stay right. Later on, Nineveh was destroyed because they didn't stay right. And revival, one revival doesn't mean that you never need another one.
That's right. Amen.
One church getting on fire for God doesn't mean that it stays that way. It needs to be reignited and refired up and relit and refocused and on and on and on. But the many people repented and believed and came to God. Can I say something? I believe this with all my heart as I studied this. I believe there's a lot of Ninevites in heaven today because of this revival.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Isn't that a great thought? Isn't that a precious thought? There's a lot of Ninevites in heaven today because of Jonah chapter 3. And they're sitting up there thinking, thank you, Jonah, for coming, even if it was the second time, even if it was harder than it should have been, thank you for coming and preaching to me, because I'm in heaven today. Thank you for teaching my Sunday school class. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for driving that van. Amen. Thank you for preaching that gospel. Thank you for standing up on the street corner. Thank you for knocking on my door. Amen. I'm in heaven today.
Amen.
It could be a lot easier if we would just do it the first time, but nevertheless, I think Jonah was very responsible for many Ninevites in heaven today.
Yeah.
That's a blessed thought to me.
Yeah.
But he's exceeding displeased, very angry. Now, I know none of us are like Jonah. I'm not saying that, but when people get saved, a lot of times we just kind of take it too lightly. We just kind of get to the point, listen, where we're just kind of indifferent about it. Where there's not a real interesting, somebody got saved. But I think if we knew Denton was on, turned upside down for God and people were getting saved every week, but quite frankly, the more we go, the more reality that will be.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
The more of us that go, the more reality that will be. God still saves souls.
Amen.
God still works in wicked cities.
Amen.
Nineveh is no more wicked than our city.
That's right.
Nineveh is no more wicked than our city. I mean, every time I go out, I meet... Whatever they call themselves anymore, I meet the people that are just confused and lost and completely in darkness. None of us no more wicked than our city.
That's right, amen.
But God's people we're not exceedingly displeased and angry, but many times we don't see what God really wants for us like we need to.
Yeah.
We don't understand why we're in a city like this like we should. It's just there's not enough desire to see this kind of thing in our city. There's not enough desire in God's people's hearts to see. And I believe the reasons are the same. God says, doest thou well to be angry? I mean, God knew exactly what was wrong with Jonah, and he knows exactly what's wrong with us when we get to that point of kind of indifference and apathy, where we're not really on fire for souls. We're not praying for God to do something in our city. We're not really praying for God to really get serious about telling others about Jesus and weeping and praying before God until we get in the belly of the whale. Yeah.
That's right, amen.
God says, look, I want you in that city to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
I want you in that city to preach the gospel. I don't want you in that city just to get fat, dumb, and happy. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to be dedicated and given to preach Jesus to the souls in that city.
Yeah.
Amen.
But instead, Jonah got angry because Jonah didn't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But Jonah made himself a little hut. We had a little booth there in verse 5 of chapter 4. A little hut in the thicket and sat down to watch what was going to happen. I mean, I don't really know what he expected to happen. I don't know if he was waiting for them to turn on God so he could say, ha ha, God, I told you so. That's what I think, because he was so angry. He's just going to sit up there for a while, Tori, and he's just going to wait on these people to go back on God so he can say, see, God, I told you this was a waste of time. That's what I think. I can't prove it to you. But he was very angry, sitting up there watching the city. I mean, nothing else. God made a gourd to grow, the Bible says in verse 6. Prepared a gourd, which is just a big palm plant, if you will. It grows to like 8 or 10 feet. It's got very large leaves, which is perfect for shade. And so Jonah, listen, Jonah's attitude changed, I mean, drastically in verse 6. He was exceeding glad of the gourd. The sun was beating down on him. It's serious out there in the desert land, and it's hot and it's dry. So he's sitting there watching the city, and God says, oh, I'm just going to bring you some shade. Oh, Lord, thank you for the gourd. Oh, Lord, thank you for the gourd. And everything was wonderful. Jonah was thankful and his attitude changed. But then God prepared a worm in verse 7. Notice, just like he prepared a great fish.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Chapter 1, verse 17 says, the Lord prepared a great fish. Chapter 4, verse 7 says, God prepared a worm.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a big God. And He can prepare whatever He needs to prepare to get a hold of us.
Amen.
That's right.
He can use a whale or He can use a worm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So God prepared a worm, a little bitty worm. A squiggly little thing that you'd probably go, ooh, gross. Or some of you might pick it up and say, ooh, look, what? When Lissa was growing up, you know, what do they call those little things? Roly-polies. She was just intrigued by those things. Are you still? most girls are like, ooh, a bug. Gross. She's over here like this. Look, bug. And she's picking them up, and she's got four or five in her hand. And roly-polies. That's kind of unusual for a girl. But anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. But I just remembered that about Alyssa. But Jonah was sitting, and he was under that shade, and he was having a great time. Oh, thank you, Lord. He falls asleep. And the worm, God says, okay, Jonah. Here's a worm for you. The next morning, the gourd was gone. The sun came up in verse 8, and Jonah literally had heat stroke. The little worm ate the stalk of the gourd, caused the plant to wither. That's what happens to my wife's plants all the time. They wither for some reason. Amen, Brother Worcester. Yeah. Sounds like you might have the same problem. And then Jonah's attitude went right back to stinking again. I mean, just boom. Angry, bitter, sour. Last night he's sleeping like a baby. This morning, he is a mess. Are you getting the picture?
Yeah.
So at this point, God says, okay, Jonah, here's what I want you to learn. Here's what I want you to learn. Jonah, number one, you've got a perverted sense of priority.
Yeah.
Jonah, you got a perverted sense of priority. What do I mean by that? Jonah was 110% selfish.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. Yeah.
Selfish. Jonah's priority was Jonah.
Yeah.
Jonah was first and foremost to Jonah.
Yep.
Jonah, listen, Jonah was upset. Don't miss it. He was to the point of suicide because he lost the gourd.
Yeah.
Because he lost his shade.
Yeah.
Because he lost his comfort.
That's right. Amen.
I'm out.
Oh.
When he had his comfort, oh God, you're so great. Thank you. Warm and fuzzies. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
God is so good. God, you're so good. And then, boy, when that comfort's gone, just kill me, God. I don't deserve to live.
Yeah.
It was one day later. How can a man be so unstable emotionally? He's selfish.
That's right. He went.
Selfish. I'm telling you, Jonah was living for himself. Look over in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 4. The Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, and to lighten it of them. But Jonah... I mean, the sailors are up there, man. They're overboard, all the cargo, and they're unloading the ship, and they're trying to get the water. And I mean, they're going down. They're taking on water fast, and the ship is going down. But Jonah is down in the bottom of the ship.
Yeah.
What was that noise? Oh. Boy, you don't get much more selfish than that.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody else is working. Everybody else is laboring to save the ship. Save their lives. Jonah is down in the sides of the ship, fast asleep. You know, he should have been helping.
Yeah.
He should have been helping.
Right.
He should have been working.
Yeah.
But he's fast asleep. Why? Because he is selfish.
Yeah. All right.
His sense of priority is perverted. His priority is him.
That's right.
Now notice, I want you to notice what this selfishness made. Number one, it made him a very angry man.
Yeah.
Verse 2 of chapter 4. Well, we know chapter 1 says he's very angry, but he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this, notice these words, my saying, when I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before, and I knew. Well, who's he talking about? He's got a bad case of me-itis. He's got eye disease. He's selfish. But he's angry about God's grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's angry about God's mercy. He's angry about God's goodness. And you said, preacher, that's not possible. That's ridiculous. This is just some obscure reference to Jonah. This would never happen to people nowadays. Are you serious? People get angry all the time at God.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Amen.
People that know that without God they would be lost.
Yeah.
And the reason, listen, their anger, the angry people are hard to be around.
Amen. Yeah.
Angry people are dangerous. I mean, Jonah wanted this city to die.
That's right.
Because he was so selfish. I don't need to tell you this, but human nature is selfish.
Yep.
Human nature is selfish.
Amen.
Human nature is not soul winning. Human nature is selfish.
Right.
Human nature is not giving to missions. Human nature is selfish.
Amen.
Human nature is selfish, and that makes human nature very angry. Angry when things don't go their way. Look, the Proverbs 14:17. Don't look, just let me read to you. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly.
Yep.
We get ourselves in so many foolish positions, foolish places, foolish ideas, foolish decisions, because we're angry and we blame the anger. But wait a minute, the anger's not the root, the anger's the fruit. The root is selfishness.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all about me.
Yeah, come on.
Jonah, listen, Jonah's life was, God, I know what you said, but I'm not going to Nineveh, God. I'm going over here the other direction to Tarshish. And I don't even care if the sailors are having a hard, I'm just going to go down here and sleep. And I don't care what you say. I don't care what's going on up there. I'm living for me. And because of that, he was a very angry man.
Yeah. Oh.
Because, you know, selfish people are always fighting God.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And that makes you angry. Because you can't win.
Yeah, mom.
I mean, the Bible says he went down to Tarshish to flee from the presence of the Lord. You can't do that.
Yeah, amen.
That's impossible.
Yeah.
You can't. I'm just going to quit church. I'm just going to quit church. I'm just going to get okay. You can't flee the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to get out of this church. Forget all that. I'm going to go find myself another church. I'm going to go fine, but you can't flee the presence of God, and you're going to be angry. Because the only reason you're getting out of church is because you don't get your way.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Jonah was just selfish, and because of that selfishness, he was irate. You ever find yourself angry? Listen, don't have to answer me. Angry at God. Don't have to answer me, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm angry at God. I don't like what God just did. I don't like the results. I don't like God's will. I don't like what God's... I don't want this to happen. I did not want this to happen, God. That's what he said. Proverbs 19:19 says, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Great wrath. A whale's belly was pretty serious punishment.
That's right.
Then, the second time, he got heat stroke. Oh, the heat literally fainted to the point where he was dying. God said, Jonah, I'm trying to get you to wake up and understand. You are so. That's why God said, doest thou well to be angry? Jonah, is your anger okay? Is your anger acceptable?
Yeah.
Jonah, do you think it's right for you to react in such anger?
Yeah.
And he even said, yes, Lord, it is right for me to act in anger. And he's so selfish, he doesn't even answer God. He answers God in anger.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gets mad at the preacher. Mm-hmm. Gets mad at the Word of God.
Yeah.
And every one of us has been there.
Yeah.
Not only does this selfishness produce anger in his life, but it produces discouragement.
Yep.
Please listen to me tonight. Verse 3 says, therefore, in chapter 4, verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech you, my life from me. It's better for me to die. Man, that's a pretty discouraged man. I don't want to live anymore. You don't want to live anymore. God just used you to bring a very big city to its knees.
Amen. Yeah.
And you don't want to live anymore? God saved your soul. The blood of Christ was applied to your heart and cleansed you from every sin, all unrighteousness. God's righteousness has been imputed unto you. You are saved forever. You have everlasting life. You have been forgiven. You have been taken and made a very heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. And now you're so discouraged you don't even want to live. Can I say something? You don't get to that point without being very selfish.
Sure.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
Selfish. Jonah was so selfish that he didn't even want to live anymore because he didn't get his way. Anger, rage. I mean, can you see the emotional instability? He's angry. I want to die, God. I'm just being honest with you tonight. Selfishness creates a whole lot of problems.
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
Right.
You're furious one day. You're furious with everybody. It's everybody else's fault. It's never your fault. Everybody else is rotten. They're all wicked. And you're just you just can't believe how stupid they are. And you're so angry. And then the next day, oh God, I just want to die. And then you're just on this emotional roller coaster, yeah. And you can't figure out why. It's got to be, I've got to go take some pills because I'm bipolar. Yeah. No, you're selfish.
That's right. Yeah. Amen, brother. Come on.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Don't get mad at me. Mm-hmm. There is no scientific, there is no medical basis for bipolar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zero. Amen. You won't find it. Well, it's a chemical imbalance. You won't find it. It's not documented. It's theory.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's sin.
Amen. Amen.
It's a way to get people doped up on pharmacos, which, by the way, is sorcery.
Oh yeah.
That's another message. See, I told you, you just go everywhere. Yeah. But the fact is, it all starts with you being stuck on you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about physical illness. I'm talking about mental instability, where what people call you crazy. Man, you're a nutcase. Well, no, you're not. You're just spiritually selfish. You're just consumed with yourself. You just fight God long enough, you're going to find yourself in an emotional disarray.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And boy, I'm telling you what, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. Yeah. I'm so angry. But then I just want to die. It all boils down to the fact that I'm living for myself. Not only that, I'm so discouraged. Now all I hear from God is conviction.
Yeah.
I mean, all God says is, Jonah, are you right with me right now? Is thine heart right with God? Jonah, doest thou well to be so angry? And I go to church and I'm angry and I'm discouraged. And then every time the preacher preaches about the love of God, the grace and the mercy of God, exceeding rich in mercy and grace, His truth endureth through all generations. Bless God, He's so good. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all His benefits. And all the preacher does is convict me, talk about my sin. What's wrong? I'm sick of this stuff. I'm sick of this preaching stuff. I'm sick of that Bible. I'm sick of prayer. I'm sick of church. I'm sick of it all. Just kill me. I just want to die. God won't help me. All He does is convict me and convict me and convict me.
Yeah.
That's all that Jonah heard from God. Jonah, you're not right. Jonah, you're not right. Jonah, you're angry because people are getting saved. Jonah, you're angry about my grace and my mercy. Jonah, you're not right. And it's just everything he heard from God was bam, 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 bam. But can I tell you something? It wasn't God's fault.
That's right.
Amen.
Jonah was selfish.
Amen.
So he was angry. One day, discouraged unto death the next day. And he couldn't find any help from God because God was just telling what was wrong with him. Well, I don't want to tell God, quit telling me what's wrong. Tell me how to fix it. I am.
Right.
Yeah.
His selfishness led him to be overly angry, discouraged. Verse 5 of chapter 4 is a pretty sad verse in my book. Jonah went out of the city, set on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, set under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. Now, wait a minute. Jonah, you've done your work in the city. Mm-hmm. The revival's over. And all you're going to do is go up on a hill and sit there? What am I saying? I'm saying his selfishness made him the loneliest man on the earth. Jonah, go home. Jonah, go back to your family. I don't think he had one. He's what's his purpose in life now? I'm going to sit up here and wait to see what God does. I mean, can you see how empty he is? How lonely his life is? He has no purpose now.
Right.
He has no reason for even... He's so angry, discouraged, empty, lonely, sitting in a booth on a hill in the sun of the desert, just watching the city. Maybe he had a bag of popcorn, I don't know. But I doubt it. He was all by himself. I mean, do you get the picture that I'm trying to draw for you here? What a miserable man!
Yeah.
Amen.
No family. No purpose. Nothing but emptiness, loneliness, waiting to see something happen. All because he was selfish. Man, I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but this is convicting.
Amen.
There are so many lonely, empty people. Now, they may have a wife. They may have a husband. They may have a church family. They may be saved. But to them, they're just empty. They're lonely. They're all by themselves. Now, don't you think he should have been down in the city helping people get right with God?
Amen.
Preaching the goodness and the grace of God. Maybe, you know, discipling somebody. Pouring himself into other people. But he was too selfish. So instead, he's up here on the mountain. What a pathetic man.
Yeah.
What a pathetic life. And there's no excuse for it other than he's selfish. Perverted sense of priority. His priority was him.
Yeah, that's right.
Jonah number two also had another problem, believe it or not. That was enough, don't you think? But because of that selfishness, he had a twisted love for the temporary things. Because of that selfishness, he was angry and discouraged and lonely and empty. Poor, pathetic, miserable life. But also, he had another problem. He was a twisted love for the temporary things. Look in verse 10 of chapter 4. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it to grow. Notice what it says, which came up in a night and perished in a night. You don't get much more temporary than that.
Right.
Jonah was very much in love with that gourd. Jonah was in love with that gourd. Now that sounds crazy, that's a plant. But it's no more crazy to be in love with a car, or a boat, or a job, or money.
Amen.
Because it's up in the night and it's perishing in the night.
That's right.
But Jonah was all about that gourd. I mean, he was all of a sudden no more anger. No more discouragement. Everything was wonderful when he got what he wanted. It's just all it was a fad. The gourd was there. Everything was great. The gourd went away. Ah, just kill me, God. Baptists today spend more time worrying about stuff, then we do souls. Temporary stuff that's here and gone. Here and gone. I've got to get the new phone. I've got to get the new tablet. I've got to get the new this. I've got to wear the new clothes. Don't get quiet if you want to, but that's fine. I'm just telling you the truth.
Yeah.
I've got to get the newest fashion. I've got to get my hair fixed like the newest thing. And we spend more time on the new technology and the new this and the new that. And meanwhile, we don't give to missions.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
We don't go knocking doors.
Right.
Because we are given at our priorities, our self, but we and because of that, we love the temporary things that this world has to offer. I mean, I need to have what everybody else has. Well, but but that fashion's going to change. That fad's going to come and go. It's going to be here today and gone tomorrow. It's going to be here today and gone tomorrow. But I'm spending more money on those clothes than I am on missions. I'm spending more money on that technology than I am missions. I'm spending more money on that stuff than I am souls and the work of God in my local church. I'm spending more time devoting to make that stuff better than to make the work of God more effective in my church. My love is twisted. I love stuff more than I do anything else.
Come on, amen.
Every generation has something that it lives for, and it changes from one generation to the next, right? Well, when I was growing up, I didn't even have a cell phone. I didn't even know what it was. The first cell phone was about this big, and you had to carry it behind you in a wagon or a wheelbarrow. And you had, if you had to hold it up to your ear, you hit both hands. Hello? We didn't have cell phones. But every generation has something. Some kind of idol that they serve. Today, it's just that technology stuff. Next generation, I don't know what it's going to be. God forbid. I really don't think I want to know. But sooner or later, it just boils down to being temporary. Here today and gone tomorrow. Stuff. Gourds, here the gourds gone. God hasn't changed, Jonah. God's teaching Jonah a lesson. That's what I'm trying to say. God's teaching Jonah a lesson here in chapter 4. God's teaching Jonah, your sense of priority is out of whack. It's completely wrong. And you have a very weird, twisted love for the temporary things of this life. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says.
All right.
I treasure this gourd. I treasure this fad. I treasure this fashion. I treasure this friendship, this new friend. Oh, she's so wonderful. She's so sweet and kind. Is she saved?
Yeah.
Is she God-fearing?
Yeah.
Is she right with God? Is she really going to help you be more godly?
Yeah.
I mean, friends say that, well, you know... There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. And if anyone else is not like him, then they're dangerous. If they're going to lead you away from him, then you need to get away from them.
Yeah.
That fat one, yeah, everybody's just, you know, we've got to have friends, right? No, you don't have to have friends. You can have Jesus.
Amen.
And then when Jesus decides to give you someone like a spouse who will love you and help you, and you can grow together as one flesh serving the Lord, and then at that point, yeah, you're all right with God. But don't go chasing all the temporary boys and girls that come across your path. You're going to be found yourself very lonely.
Yeah.
Very empty. Very discouraged. Irate. Furious. Angry. Emotional, just basket case. You're chasing the temporary thing. By the way, Satan's throwing them out there all day long.
Oh yeah.
There goes a rabbit. There goes a rabbit. There goes another rabbit. I can't keep up with the rabbits. You know how they make dogs race in circles? They put a little carrot out there on that thing and they chase that stupid thing. We ought not be, we ought to be wiser than that.
Amen.
They never catch it and they never get to eat it. They never catch it, and they never get to eat it. But we got people, Baptists, Christians, who live and die for stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff. Temporary stuff. And we won't get rid of nothing. We won't get rid of nothing. I don't think that's grammatically correct, but I don't care. We won't get rid of nothing. Because it's what somebody else has. It's what the world exalts. Jesus said to Jonah, that gourd was here and gone, and you care more about that than you do the souls of a whole city. So that's pretty sad. That's pretty convicting.
Yeah.
Thou hast had pity on the gourd. Can I tell you something? A gourd doesn't have a soul.
That's right.
The thing things that you live for don't have souls. They're empty, nothing. They're not what our purpose is here for. Our purpose in this city and around the world is to reach souls.
Amen.
A Gore didn't have a soul. And I close with this thought. Because of his selfishness, he was a twisted, perverted sense of priority, a twisted love for the temporal, and a very corruptible lack of compassion. Verse 11. Should not I spare Nineveh, that great city God saying to him, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Jonah had more compassion on the gourd than he did on the souls of Nineveh. I said a minute ago, a tree has no soul, a plant has no soul, a bug has no soul. If you see a bug, go ahead and squash it.
Amen.
Yeah, whoever said that, you need to be still and listen. If you see a roly-poly Fallon, listen, it's okay, just go and say, well, you know, it's okay, there's a lot of those.
Amen.
Plenty more. Isn't?
Plenty more where that came from.
Amen.
Anyway, but see, Jonah had no compassion. Christ is nothing but compassion. God's people ought to be compassionate. And see, missions and soul winning and just the work of the local church is a work of compassion. But Jonah had none.
That's right.
Compassion is more than pity. Compassion moves us to do something about it.
Amen. Amen.
I said, compassion moves us to do something about it. Verse 11 describes, this is interesting here if you've never really looked at this. Verse 11 describes a portion of the city that God points out to Jonah. He says, wherein in that city, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. Now that's 600,000, by the way.
Yeah.
60,000 persons. And it says they're innocent. They can't discern between their right hand and their left hand. These are children. These are children. That wasn't the whole city's population. But that was the population of children. And you know what God's telling Jonah? He's saying, Jonah, you have more compassion on this plant than you do on those children.
Yeah, that's right.
Jonah, you have more compassion on this plant and you have more care about yourself than you do on the future of these hundreds of thousands of children in this city. You know what he's doing is he's appealing to his tender side, if he has any, his understanding that it's not just about a bunch of grown old people that are hard to change. It's about, hey, there's another generation in that city, Jonah!
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, if I had it my way, and I don't have it my way, but if I had it my way, aren't you glad? I'm glad I don't have it my way. If I had it my way, we just go load up every nook and cranny of this building with children.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, we are missing out on the harvest of souls. Listen, grown ups, I mean, they all cantankerous and grumpy, and let them stay that way. Go find yourself a little child, amen. Go find yourself some children. They'll come. And by the way, when they get saved, there's just as much shouting in heaven as there is when an old fogey gets saved. God doesn't say, wait a minute, they're not old enough to get real excited about. No, they're get saved. They're a soul that Jesus died for.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
God help us. It's not about just, listen, it's not about just people. It's not about, well, they slammed the door. They don't like me. Okay, but wait a minute. There's a little set of eyes right behind them that needs to be saved.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Every time I see somebody, I say, well, those are your children out there? Those are your children back? I always bring that because I want them to come.
Yeah.
Well, do they go to church with you? Well, can they? I always.
Amen.
I mean, my heart breaks when I see those little kids. They don't know any better. They're innocent victims.
Right.
And God says, Jonah, you care more about a stupid plant than you do about 600,000 young children that are dying in sin.
Right.
Yeah, tall.
Oh, man, that's convicting.
Yeah.
If you're compassionate. Jonah wasn't. Jonah wasn't. Praise God for those buses.
Amen.
Praise God for those buses.
Yeah.
Praise God for the bus drivers and the bus workers. But we need to get more. I just said, this is not a message about the bus ministry, but this is a method and a tool and a ministry that God's given us. And there's thousands of kids in this city. We're not reaching them.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to get more serious about the junior church, and more serious about our Sunday school classes, and more serious about bus ministry visitation. We need to get more serious about those little ones. Listen, they are souls. They can grow up and learn to serve God.
Amen.
There's countless hundreds of pastors and missionaries all over the world today who were reached through the bus ministry.
Amen.
Mom and Dad didn't care about them, but they found somebody who did.
Amen.
They found Jesus.
Amen.
Jonah didn't care. God says, Jonah, I can't appeal to you on any other level, but surely I can get to you through this, these children.
Yeah.
Children grow up.
Amen.
Children grow up.
Amen.
If no one gets to their city before they grow up, they're going to end up just like their parents.
Yeah. That's right.
That's right. Amen.
By the way, exceedingly wicked. That's what God said. And he said, Jonah, you know, I sent you there to preach because they're exceedingly wicked. But, you know, I there's some children there, a whole lot of children there. There's more that we can do, church, for missions. There's more that we can do for children. There's more that we can do for our city. We've got to stop being selfish. We've got to stop being selfish. We've got to stop living for the temporal stuff that doesn't matter. We've got to have some compassion on the children, the souls of our city that are dying. They don't have a hope of a snowball chance in hell without us getting serious about the Great Commission.
Amen.
The soul winning, the missions giving, the purpose of our church. But I told you earlier that the book of Jonah could be outlined very easily. A great commission and then a great waste.
Yeah.
Waste. Jonah paid his money instead of giving it to missions, instead of giving it to the bus minister, instead of giving it to his local church. He paid his own fare to get down on his own ship and then go his own direction.
Yeah.
Right.
Doest thou well? Ask yourself that. Am I doing all that I can do? Is my response to the ministry what it should be? Is my response to the need in my city what it needs to be? Is my response to God's call on my life what it should be? Preachers, teachers, bus workers, soul winners, doest thou well? Am I praying like I need to? Doest thou well? God knows the answer.
Yeah.
Father, I pray for your help tonight.